I just, 2 days ago, I turned 14 years old, and I can't lie because I'm on the pulpit here. I am 14. I'm 14, seriously. That's when I was born again. So, see? I knew somebody would be questioning it. And then 2 days, 2 days after that, before that was my birthday, you know, when I turned 37. So I had two birthdays back to back and everything. So, and that's kind of the title of my message, is my birthday. I wanted to tell you guys about the day that I was born 14 years ago. Now, leading up to that, in the womb, there was a lot of stuff going on, like for like 20-some years, I was in the womb. And I wanted to tell you that story before I actually became born again. Anyway, I grew up in a home of, mom is a Christian. My late mom was a born-again believer. My dad, still to this day, unfortunately, is a Muslim. Not necessarily a practicing Muslim, but grew up in the Muslim faith. His mom was one of four wives, so he grew up in Nigeria in a polygamous family. So anyway, they eventually migrate to the states here, California, and my parents end up meeting, end up having seven of us. And I'm one of seven child, and my older sister is my twin sister by 10 minutes. So anyway, I grew up into this home, and it was interesting. I didn't know it at the time, but there was a struggle. There was a spiritual struggle. Clearly, it was most clearly seen that my mom was the spiritual leader in that home. She's the one that made us go to church. So even though I had a Muslim father, I grew up in the church. I went to a Pentecostal church, you know, people laying hands, people falling. I mean, that's kind of what I was exposed to. But at the same time, I was exposed to my dad, you know, making a mockery of my mom's faith in Jesus Christ. You know, always saying, well, let's see how Jesus come through for you and everything. So anyway, mom being emotional, dad being somewhat, from my perspective, calm, I liked how he kind of handled himself in, you know, in difficult situations. So I wanted to be like my dad. So when I got to college, basically graduated, I decided that I was going to be a practicing Muslim and take on my dad's faith. And so that's kind of how I saw myself. That's if you guys know anything about Arabic, Kabir is an Arabic name. My whole name is Muhammad Kabir. So I still kept that, and there's a good reason why I kept that. But anyway, as I went on through life, I used to ask people questions. My dad always told me, go around asking Christians about where Jesus said he's God. Now, this message for you guys is not just my testimony. This message is twofold. It's for the believers, and it's for those who are just, you know, don't know yet. And so I want to share my story when I didn't know and when I became to know. But all the people, there's a lot of people that God used to play in my life and who I am today. So anyways, I was going through my life in college and questioning, you know, I went to chapel service, try to talk to guys, and I asked guys, I said, show me where Jesus is God. Guys just didn't want to take the time to have that conversation with me. They said, oh, that's a great question. Let me get back to you. But no one never really got back to me. And so what did I kept on leaving with? Yeah, I think my dad knows what he's talking about. Man, these Christians don't really have an answer for my one simple. I just had one question. Show me where Jesus said he was God. And so sometime, unfortunately, playing at San Diego State, there was guys that was professing Christians that had a different lifestyle. And to me, I thought I was a pretty good guy, a virgin at this time. I thought I was a pretty good guy. And if I was a virgin, I kept that, you know, wasn't a virgin, I kept that on the down low, so no one knew that too. So, but at least I looked good. I looked right. These other guys were going out doing things that was inappropriate, and they still was professing God. And I'm like, why do I want to be a Christian when it seems like you have a license to do whatever you want? So these are the stuff that I was struggling with as I was seeking and trying to find truth or trying to find God or God, you know, drawing me towards him. And eventually I ran into a guy. There was a chaplain named Jimmy Brown. I'll never forget Jimmy Brown. And to this day, we still stay in touch. Jimmy Brown was the chaplain for the San Diego State. He's still there to this day. And he was the guy that God put in my life to continue trying to hook me up. He took me to, you know, Christian camps, you know, at the UC. They had like, it was Athletes in Action. It was part of the Athletes in Action. So I used to go to some of these camps. Somebody sponsored me. I got to go there. I remember somebody in the car had me trapped and was going to get me to say the prayer. I think I said the prayer. And then I recanted and said, no, I didn't really mean it. You had me trapped. So if anybody knows me, some people say I'm intimidated. That was intimidating for me. I'm like, whoa. So anyway, I went through this whole thing, and Jimmy Brown hooked me up with a guy named Gil Bird. Gil Bird used to play for the San Diego Chargers. He was a two-time Pro Bowler. I remember playing Tecmo Bowl. If anybody, I probably just dated myself here. But, you know, playing Tecmo Bowl. And I remember seeing him, you know, always catching an interception and everything. And he was introducing me to Gilbert. I remember, you know, coming before a night before a game, he was in my room, bald head, black turtleneck. You know, it was one light. It's like a movie. I'm not making this up, but it's like, you know, the lights on, and I come into my room and I'm like, that's Gilbert. And Jimmy said he used to be a Muslim too. He was part of the Nation of Islam. And so anyway, as I got to meet him, I said, okay. He said, if you ever have any questions, I'll be more than happy to help you out. He's retired at this time. And so my junior year, I decided to give him a call. I said, I'm going to give this Gilbert a call. I have some questions. He said he wanted to help me. I'm going to give him a call. So I called the number, and they said, this number is no longer in service. And I was all excited. I had a, you know, a pro athlete number, like, man, you know. And I said, yeah, he probably gave me the fake one, you know. So anyway, I would never do that. But anyway, I called Jimmy Brown and said, Jimmy, what happened? Why? I called Gil. He said, oh, Gil moved to Green Bay. And so I didn't think nothing of it. I said, okay, he's gone. And so I went on my San Diego State year, going through struggles, just trying to, you know, find life, find truth, you know. And so anyway, my day come. I get, you know, I had a pretty good, you know, career at San Diego State, all-time sack leader there, and well, you know, highly, you know, not highly, but amongst my class, I was going to be the one that was highest pick, fifth round, and not like I was first round, but I was going to be picked. And so we go through the draft. I wasn't fooling myself. I knew I was a second-day kind of guy. I wasn't going to be the first day because I was a tweener, you know. I played D-line at San Diego State, but the NFL saw me more of as a linebacker, but I'd never played the position, so they called him a tweener. So that was my situation. I was a tweener. I mean, he plays D-line, but we think he should be a linebacker. Well, there was only one team in the whole NFL that saw me as a D-lineman, and obviously, you know, so obviously you know it was the Green Bay Packers, and I remember the guy telling me that we see you as a D-line, most of the guys see you here as linebacker. Even when I did the combine, I had to do everything, I had to do the linebacker drills, and sometimes they would have me do D-line drills. So anyway, as I move along the story here, I get drafted by the Green Bay Packers. I remember, you know, just, you know, seeing the number. It was like Green Bay, didn't think nothing. I'm watching the draft like everybody else, and this is the only time I've ever watched a draft. I thought this was an important one to watch, right? So I'm watching the draft, and I'm seeing all these highlight tapes and, you know, of all these other players, and I get the call, and I get on the phone, and they say, hey, this is the Green Bay Packers. We're going to be drafting you. Hey, go check out the tube and see your highlight tape. And I looked, and I just saw a name going across, and that was about it. That's all I got. There was no announcement. But that's still a big deal just to get drafted still, right? I mean, I'm like, hey. So I talked to all the coaches, my position coach. I talked to the media. They asked me how would I feel. You know, I talked to all of these different people over the phone, and you know, they're saying, well, hey, put away your shorts, your flip-flops, you know, come out here with your thermals and stuff like that. I mean, so, and was a guy named Aaron Taylor, he was offensive lineman. He was in San Diego. He says, Kabir, it's cold out there. I mean, so I was just fearful of the cold here. So anyway, but the last person on the call was the director of player development, and his name was Gilbert. And Gilbert took the position with when Ray Rose was the head coach. He took on this position, and what the director of player development, their job is to basically, you know, help rookies to kind of get, you know, integrated in the new community and all of the situations. So he was like a minister, but it was a thing that they felt that players needed so that they wouldn't be lost, you know, homesick and things of that nature. So Gilbert was that guy. So when I came out here, he was the only familiar face that I had, and when at the time I came to Green Bay, it was nothing out here. Matter of fact, if you saw a person of color, you thought they were a player or somebody of a player's relative. I mean, it was literally like if you saw, I mean, it was like some, oh, this person was imported. If you saw a girl, oh, she must be somebody's girlfriend or wife. It was just that. I mean, I couldn't listen to my rap music anymore. I mean, it was all country. I mean, it was bad out here. My phone wasn't working. It had Sprint. That wasn't working at the time. I'm like, man, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's cold. It's just farmland. It's all. I mean, this is when the stadium was green, like green and yellow, like, you know, Lambeau, you know, that's what I came into, right? Anyway, so I get here. I'm just homesick. You know, I just want to go back home, but I'm excited to be, you know, part of the Packers. So anyway, I get there, and Gilbert is now the new Jimmy in my life. He's the one that kind of showed me the room. For the first time, I see a guy loving his wife. I see he had kids at the time. Actually, one of his sons is playing for the New Orleans Saints right now. He was drafted pretty high, and had a big contract right now, Jairus Byrd. So it's B-Y-R-D, so if you want to look it up. So, but anyway, he went to Pulaski High School. So these were my, like, my brothers, my family. And so I hung out with them, and I said, I want what Gil has. And so me and Gil had a type of relationship where I can ask him questions and debate him and just kind of go through the hustle, you know. So anyway, one day, me and Gil had a discussion. And the discussion was, he just basically says, come here, we don't worship the same God. I'm saying, what do you mean we don't worship the same God? And so I took offense to it. I said, yes, we do worship the same God. We just call it Allah. You call it God. Or, you know, now we don't believe Jesus was the Son of God. We just believe he was a prophet and everything. And so, but it was in the middle, it was right before meetings. And in the NFL, when you have a meeting, if you show up late, every minute is $10,000. And so I'm being cheap and everything. So I decided that I was just going to hold off on that, in that conversation, get to the meeting, you know. So I got to the meeting, but lunch rolled around. I get to lunch, and all of a sudden, there's a guy that comes in, and I really believe he was an angel from God, because I don't even know who, I still don't even know who his name is, but it was a short white guy, and please forgive me for my, for the description. That's all I have. That's all, you know. So anyway, short white guy, and I'm pretty, you know, big guy and everything. I mean, he was shorter than you, Steph. I mean, that's how short he was. Yeah, he was short. But he was very, yeah. So anyway, he was walking, and he said he's looking for Gil Byrd. He's in town visiting. I said, okay, well, let me show you Gil's office. And so anyway, I took him to Gil's office, and I said, well, Gil, we can finish our discussion. This guy is just, you know, from out of town. He says, hey, maybe I can help. And I'm thinking like, oh, it's going to be one of these. I'm going to ask him, show me where Jesus is God. And I expected the typical answer, let me get back to you. That's a great question. Boom, boom, boom. This guy pulled out of his pocket a Bible. I've never seen this before. This is a more. Now, I mean, this is a guy that don't know me. Now, I know people that know me would have this discussion. This is a guy that doesn't know me. I just came out of the weight room. I'm, you know, muscles are popping all over the place and everything. He's short. I could crush the guy, you know. And this guy pulls out the Bible. So I'm thinking like, this guy's about to show me something. I've never seen this. So then I proceed to ask him another question. And I said, hey, he says, if you just shut up, excuse me. I mean, that's a bad word in our family. But if you just shut up, I'll be more than happy to answer your question. And I remember just sitting right next to him like this, and just to get to his height, you know, because this guy was just running the show here. And like literally now he's reading something in scripture, and all of a sudden, if I had to do a movie about this, it's like his voice went into the background, and it was just like, oh my goodness. The thing that my dad taught me is being defeated. I felt like Mike Tyson just knocking out all those Christians before. Boom, knockout, champ, knockout. And then I get to this guy, and I'm going two rounds, three rounds, and he knocks me out like Buster Douglas did, right? So anyway, I go home that day, and I said, okay, I'm going to find the contradictions for myself. I'm going to read the Bible, because I'm going to prove to Christians that the Bible is contradictory and is not the Word of God. And I started in the Old Testament, because unfortunately on my search of God, people always told me, stay away from the Old Testament, read the New Testament. That's where God was nice. So I said, there's some dirt up in here that they don't want me to see. I'm going to find this dirt. So you think I'm starting the New Testament or Old Testament? What do you think? Old Testament, that's where you're going to find some dirt, because the Christians are hiding something. So anyway, I went straight to the first book, you know, because Genesis. I said, hey, this is a good place to start. So I get there, and I get to chapter 6 right before the flood, and God says that he regret that he made man, because he said every inclination of man's heart is to do evil all the time. And I'm thinking to myself, this kind of stood out for me. That's why I remember exactly where it was. I mean, I don't know exactly, but I know the chapter if you go in there. And I'm like saying, wait a minute. If you ask most people that do they have a good heart, most people say, I have a good heart. My heart is good. I'm a good person, right? And so it kind of threw me off, like a man does not write like this. This person says, in the book it says, that heart, a man's heart is inclined to do evil all the time. Then you get after the flood in chapter 8, it goes on to say, never again will I destroy earth. He created a rainbow, he says, because their hearts are inclined to do evil all the time from childhood. And so that thing just stood out to me, because it was so just new, because I always thought I had a good heart. You know, yeah, I had some bad things, but as a Muslim, if your good outweighs your bad, I mean, you have a chance to go to paradise, you know? I mean, it's not a bad, you know, not that bad, you know? Now, I did do my bad behind closed doors. So then I start getting into the Leviticus and the laws, and I start reading the laws. And I remember even before I started, I even tell you guys this journey, even before I started, I got on my knees, and I prayed to God. I says, God, whoever created Muhammad, Kabir, Oluwari, Waju, Bajabia Miller, and that's my official name, so when my parents got mad, that's what they had to call me if they wanted to get my attention. But anyway, I said, whoever created me, help me to find out the contradiction. That's what I prayed. And so I was seeking for truth. And as I get into Leviticus, I start seeing all of the different laws. And I said, that's a sin? That's a sin? And all of the stuff, it was like literally my sins was multiplying right before my very own eyes. And I start seeing that I was a sinner. And I heard about Jesus. Believe it or not, I heard about the gospel. I heard about the good news. But to me, it was never good news because it never made sense to me because I thought I was a good person for the most part. Yeah, I've done. Who's perfect? No one. But I never understood the good news until I started getting there. I was like, what? There is no chance. And then I remember one day my dad called me and says, hey, because if anybody knows me, I have a dog. I had a dog, Nala, who I had for a long time. We just had to put her to sleep this year. And but she will go everywhere with me. And my dad told me, hey, if you pray and she's in the room, it doesn't count. If you even, you know, let one go, that doesn't count. You have to go, reset. I don't know if you guys got that, but just, you know, just follow me here. Basically, you had to be clean, you know. I mean, that's how it is to be a Muslim. I'm just telling you, that's how it is. So anyway, so I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm done. There's no way I'm going to make it to paradise. There's no way I'm going to make it to heaven. And so I literally, from this point, I remember calling Gilbert. I said, I didn't even get to the Old Testament, to the New Testament yet. I said, Gilbert, how do I accept Jesus Christ? Because I recognize that I deserve to go to hell. If this is the law, I fell miserably. My sins literally was melting right before my very own eyes, and I didn't think I was a good person. And so I ran to the cross, and I remember calling Gilbert. I drove to Pulaski. At the time, Pulaski seemed like it was eternity to get there because, like, I didn't know my way around here. I'm just a rookie. I'm driving. We didn't have GPS. Can you imagine this? I'm trying to, you got to go left. You got to go right. I mean, it's like, it was like one of those, and it was foggy that day, and I got to his house, and we said the prayer. There was no fireworks or anything, and he says, man, the kingdom of heaven is going crazy right now. They're cheering. You think the Lambeau Field's going crazy? It is. People are just cheering you in. And I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. But that's what Gilbert told me, and I believed him. I said, okay. So anyway, 2 days of accepting Christ, I was messing with a local girl here and doing things that were improper. And for the first time, I was the kind of guy that can do that. And if no one saw me, it was like it never happened. So to me, I was always a good person because everybody would say, Kabir's a great guy. Oh, man, that guy's a great guy. He's nice to kids and everything. You know, that's what they'll say about Kabir. But behind closed doors, I would be doing the same thing that some of my teammates was doing. But I didn't go around talking about it. I kept everything behind closed doors. So everything, I think I was worse than my teammates. At least they were doing it in the open. I'm doing mine in private. So anyway, I messed with a local girl right after accepting Christ. 2 days after accepting Christ, I messed with a local girl here. And for the first time, I said, I can't do this anymore. There was a change. That's when I experienced some type of change. There's two things that came to me. I said, I just made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And then two, how am I being a light to her? Where did that come from? That's the Holy Spirit right there because I wouldn't even think that way. I'm saying, how am I being a light to her? Now, you guys have to understand, and Pastor kind of gave me some pass. You just cut me off anytime you want. But this is what happened. I always thought, I was the kid when I was growing up, I'm the one that got made fun of. So that's one of the reasons why people may assume my humbleness, but it's really because I was that kid. I was the kid that got picked on. I'm the kid that got made fun of. I was the butt of everybody's joke. And so I always told myself, man, if I became rich, if I became famous, life would be better. Well, what happens when you get drafted by the Green Bay Packers and you're making way more money than most people coming out of college? I mean, my signing bonus is $100,000, so after tax is 70 grand. You know, that's still good money. Now, I know I got cut, but I was making 4 grand a week just being on practice squad. A week, just practicing 3 times a week. I didn't even have to go up to the games. I'm like, woo, this is good. This is good money, you know? And I had this, and I remember getting my first camera. I got some, you know, gadget because I like gadgets, so I got some gadget. And after a while, I was like, that's it? That's it. And then I got me a car for the first time. It was a used car, 97 Chevy Blazer, but still got me from point A to point B. But I said, that's it. And all of a sudden, I learned real quick. I didn't have to have millions of dollars to figure out this is empty. And this is why I eventually, all of this stuff kind of led to me to come and accept Jesus Christ. One, I recognized I was a sinner. Two, I recognized that what the world had to offer was empty. I'm telling you right now, I do not lie. And so anyway, as I accepted Christ, my life started to change. This is a scripture I wanted to, and I don't know if they put it, I'm going to read the whole thing just because this scripture touched me when I was going through my
my transition. And I think about the lady at the well when she was talking to Jesus. And Jesus said, there's a woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me drink. For the disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And this is in, to give you guys a reference, and I don't know if it's up right there, but it's John chapter 4 to 14. It says, then the Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, and who is it that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us a well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. And the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And when I think of this Samaritan story, I was that guy that used the Lord's name in vain. I did not respect Jesus Christ. I didn't call him who he was. I just thought he was a prophet. I was the guy that was sinning. And so I was thinking I wasn't good enough for God, just like the Samaritan woman. But then I experienced the world. I became rich. I became famous all of a sudden at San Diego State, when everybody knew that I was going to be the highest pick at San Diego State, at the San Diego State University. All of a sudden, girls and people all of a sudden want to be my friend. It was kind of weird. Like, you want to be my friend now? Why now? Well, how about when Kabir was just walking around? Because I wasn't the kind of guy, if I played ball, you wouldn't have known on campus. I just did my job, came in there, wore my glasses, and just kind of did my student thing, came back. I didn't do all that stuff. So people didn't know how good I was until it became more publicly known. So this was foreign to me. So I finally get this stuff, and still Kabir was still empty. There was still an emptiness inside of me. I have money that the world told me that would make me happy. I had the fame that came with playing for an NFL team, especially the Green Bay Packers. That didn't bring any fulfillment. And so I think of that water that Jesus said. Jesus said, that water you're going to drink, you're going to come right back to it, you're going to be thirsty again. But the water I'll give, you will never thirst again. And guess what? I drank of that water, that living water. And it was 14 years ago that I took a sip, just a sip. And guess what? 14 years later, I have not lost my fire for Jesus Christ. He's changed my life. And so I want to encourage you guys to know that this water, the word of God is real. God is real. I am a testimony of what God has done. The things that I've done, I have my wife, Eileen, of seven. We have seven children, wonderful kids, six boys, one girl. I would have not even dreamt of a life like this. Wouldn't even want it because it takes too much time and you can't be self, you know what I'm saying? But what does the Lord say? He says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And when you follow God and do what he commands you, it doesn't even make sense. Give 10% of your income. What? What do you mean give 10% of my income? That's not a good investment. You know, he says, he's going to rob me. I don't want to rob you, God. Hey, I'm just going to do it. And you just see the blessing of that stuff. Stop having sex outside of marriage. Okay. You know, love your wife. Okay. Train up your children. Be fruitful and multiply. I mean, you hear all of these different things that I would have not normally have done. Share the gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations. And some people that know me will say, man, you are so passionate about the things of Jesus Christ. How come you're so passionate? Man, you have a gift of passion. I say, no, I don't. I really don't have a gift of passion. You know where my passion comes from? And I believe every Christian should have this passion. When you come from death to life, how can you not have the passion? Because where I was going for the first 22 years of my life was to hell. The way I lived my life, I thought I was good. I was deceived. And everybody around me kind of told me, oh, come here, you're a good guy. You're a good guy. And I'm going in the wrong direction. And thank God there were some people who loved me enough who was prepared to give an answer for the hope that they had. Like Gil Bird, Jimmy, and this one guy, this white short dude. I don't know his name. But thank God he was prepared. He didn't even know me. He could have been intimidated, like, wow, this guy can crush me. He didn't care. He spoke with authority. He said, you sit down. You shut up, young man. You sit down. Let me give you something that you don't know. I don't care who you are. And he started reading the word of God to me.
That's right there. So sometimes you have to confront. This guy confronted me. And I can have literally picked him up by some two times over. I mean, I can have flipped him. That's how short he was. I'm just telling you. I mean, so guys, but on a serious note, but this guy, I love this guy. And I want to ask Gilbert, who was that guy? Because it changed my life. I wouldn't even be able to stand before you right now and tell you the things I'm telling you. And now I can tell you what God has done. Not only he blessed me with a wife and seven kids, he has allowed me to pour into other people like Gilbert poured into me. Being able to pour into another guy to not only help him, but to help his wife and his children. I mean, God is just, and to be able to speak, to go around and people call me to go speak and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's what God can do for you. So if you don't know the Lord, take that. Don't be like the Samaritan woman took the water. She actually took that water. Take that water. God doesn't want to see that no one perish. And he will literally change your life. I've been blessed with resources, I guess, money. I've been blessed with fame, if you want to call that blessed. And I'm going to tell you, it is pale in comparison. I speak from experience. This is not me making it up. It is pale in comparison to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you guys hear me? I know that some people kind of think that, hey, if I had that money, man, I wish I had that problem. I wish I had that money. I help people with finance. And to be honest, those are people who are the most unhappiest people. It wrecks their life because there's so much people start taking them out. They don't even know who they are. Jesus Christ is where I find my identity, not in playing for the Packers, not in being a husband or a father. My identity is in Jesus Christ. So anyway, I'm gonna close in prayer, and Pastor McDonald's gonna come up here. I call him McDonald because Ronald McDonald. But anyway, Pastor McDonald's gonna, and I say that in respect, but Pastor Jimmy is gonna come up here and allow you guys an opportunity who don't know the Lord to be able to receive the Lord. And I'm telling you guys, take an opportunity. This is a moment. This is God using me, using this church, using Pastor to reach out and draw people to himself and watch him. You can come back and say, Kabir, I did it. It didn't work. And so anyway, I'm going to pray and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, God, for what you did in my life 14 years ago, God. And just to be able to celebrate here, but even 2 days ago, just what you did for me in my life forever. And you did this 2,000 years ago, God, and you've done this for many people. And I pray today, God, for those people who don't know you, God, I pray, God, that you would just get a hold of them right now and help them, God, to just come to you today. Take an opportunity, take a leap of faith like I did 14 years ago, like many thousands, millions of people have done. And that you will change your life from the inside and out, and that you will use them like a living water, God, that you will use them and to be able to pour into other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.